From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, May 13th. Coming up, the pandemic is forcing colleges and universities to reconsider ways to support students with children as they return to in-person instruction this fall. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. One of Illinois' most influential business associations says the state is facing a severe labor shortage because enhanced COVID unemployment benefits are disincentivizing people from going back to work. But Governor J.B. Pritzker says he has no intention of cutting off those benefits early. Hannah Meisel has more.
Many Republican-led states recently announced they'll stop administering the extra $300 per week in COVID unemployment benefits. Mark Densler, president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, says Pritzker should follow suit.
There's no doubt about it. We have a severe workforce shortage in the United States and in Illinois.
But not all economists and labor researchers buy the theory that unemployment checks are keeping people from getting jobs.
What are you going to do with your children if you aren't making enough at your job to cover child care? I mean, that's a mathematical question. It's not about desire to work or not.
That's Beth Gattelius, the research director at the University of Illinois Center for Urban Economics Development. She says long-running systemic issues in the American labor market are more likely culprits for the current workforce shortage. I'm Hannah Meisel.
As Illinois introduces a new tourism campaign, advocacy groups say tourism recovery will help Illinois stay competitive in the national and global economies after the pandemic. Michael Jacobson of the Illinois Hotel and Lodging Association says an increase in tourism would help economic recovery and development, especially for the state's hotels.
We still have 20,000 hotel workers out of work and laid off across the state who are anxious to get back to work.
The new campaign comes as Illinois faces a continued decrease in daily vaccine doses. According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, around 36% of the state's population is fully vaccinated so far. Illinois is set to loosen COVID-19 restrictions on Friday as the state approaches full reopening on June 11th. Local health departments are working with the Asian Health Coalition to raise awareness about hepatitis B infection. Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman has more.
Hepatitis B is a viral infection that can spread by sexual contact, sharing of needles, and it can pass from moms to babies during childbirth. For decades, there's been an effort in the U.S. to vaccinate kids against hepatitis B, but vaccinations aren't common in many Asian countries. That's why the nonprofit Asian Health Coalition in Chicago is working on outreach and education to Asian Americans to increase hepatitis screening and vaccination. They're working with local health departments, with people like Champaign-Urbana Public Health's Brandon Moline.
A lot of people don't know they're infected with hepatitis B. It can be sort of dormant or be causing damage without a whole lot of outward symptoms for a period of time.
While most infected adults fully recover, infants and children are more likely to develop chronic infection for which there is no cure. I'm Christine Herman, Illinois Newsroom.
The Illinois Department of Public Health announced a $225 million investment to expand COVID-19 testing in middle and high schools. The effort involves the COVID Shield saliva test developed on the University of Illinois' Urbana campus. The funding will make access to testing available to schools across the state at low or no cost. Elsewhere, children as young as 12 could start receiving the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19 as soon as Thursday in Champaign County. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District has posted a list of locations where the Pfizer vaccine will be available on its Facebook page. Still to come, WILL student reporter Carolina Garibay takes a closer look at the challenges some student parents face as they try to return to the classroom in person. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
Hi. This is Chantal Vaca, and I'm the engagement producer for the 21st, and I'm curious, what issues in Illinois matter to you most right now? Join the 21st Text Club and add to our weekly conversation. Just text TALK to 217-803-0730. That's 217-803-0730. Let's keep in touch.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. More than one in five college students are parents. Nationally, they make up 22% of the student population, but advocates say that few students feel supported by their colleges. The pandemic is forcing colleges in central Illinois and elsewhere to reconsider ways they can support student parents as they return for in-person classes this fall. WILL student reporter Carolina Garibay has more.
Here she is.
Hi.
Oh yeah, I put her in shorts. It's like it's gonna be warm, and then it rained.
Shersty Anderson picks up her almost 2-year-old daughter, Raylan Anderson, from daycare on a rainy Tuesday in Champaign. Raylan splashes in puddles, pointing out the rain falling from the sky to her mom.
The rain! Look at the rain! Step!
Mom.
Got the puddle. Yes, the rain. Come on, let's go. Let's
Anderson is a single mother. Yeah. She's also a full-time student at Parkland College in Champaign. She had Raylan on her 18th birthday, just months before starting her first semester at Parkland. Anderson is now finishing up her fourth semester. She says the switch to online learning made it harder to be a mom.
They don't really cut slack on the work because they're like, oh, well, she's at home. She can just do it on the computer. What they don't understand is, or what is not really built into their curriculum is, oh, what if these people have kids? It's not really like a built-in thing. So parents like me are basically forced by nature, I guess, to just stay up late unless you're really good at planning stuff. So like tonight, I'll stay up really late until like 2 or 3.
Officials at Parkland College say they know how hard it is for students with children right now. Dean of Students at Parkland College, Marietta Turner, says that there's even a section in each syllabus that says to contact her if students have children or are pregnant. She also says that Parkland could improve in advertising their resources, which include private rooms for breastfeeding and an on-campus daycare center.
I don't think we've done that much. We were trying to be more explicit and direct and transparent and really start to market this to students.
Turner also says that Parkland doesn't know how many students are pregnant or have children. This means that it's really up to the student parents to seek out resources. But student-parent researchers think this needs to change. One of these researchers is Meredith Manzi, an assistant professor at the Graduate School of Public Health and Health Policy at City University of New York. She says self-advocacy doesn't always come easy to students with children.
I think they're just not inclined to be asking for anything that they feel like is some sort of special accommodation. And it's also a group of students who are more likely single, of low income, people of color, women. There's no precedent where they just ask for things and advocate for themselves and they usually get it.
Manzi says she's working on finding non-intrusive ways for colleges to identify students who have children. This would allow colleges to distribute resources to those students so that they wouldn't have to feel like they're asking for extra. Shantae White is a senior research associate for the Institute for Women's Policy Research in Washington, D.C. She says we need to redefine what is considered a, quote, traditional student.
I take any opportunity to kind of reframe the conversation, not around what an individual is capable of, but about the system, the barriers that may be present, and what we can do to alter the higher education space and alter institutions so that student parents can succeed.
Studies show that student parents have higher GPAs than their non-parenting peers, despite them being less likely to graduate college. Researchers say that this might be because many student parents have been forced to master skills that college students typically need to succeed in order to keep up with the demands of being a student parent. But not all students feel that they've mastered student parenting.
Sometimes I just get lost and, you know, you're like, okay, so who are you doing it for? You know, I'm like, okay, well, Raylan, I'm doing it for her, you know, and for me too, but mostly for her. Like, I want her to grow up in a nice house, like a nice one. And I want to drive a nice car and have nice things and not cheap things. And so I got to get there.
I'm Carolina Garibay, Illinois Newsroom.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 67 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Christine Hatfield, Christine Herman, and Carolina Garibay. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulmain. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.